Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Life is like the ocean, incredibly unpredictable. What can be predictable is how we respond to what life hands us. My name is Alexandra Wyman, and I am the host of the 4 to Joy podcast. After my husband died by suicide in 2020, I've been collecting tips and tricks to help me rebuild a life that erupted in an instant. Join me as we continue to find ways to navigate this thing called life.
Welcome back to another episode. I'm so excited to be here with you and for my guest today. Sabrina Miller is joining us from Texas, just very exciting. And Sabrina, I call you an expert in physical, nutritional, well, I would just say health and wellness. You're very big in health and wellness in general. And we've kind of talked about how it's not just one area or another. And so I'm so excited for you to be here and to share kind of some information in regards to wellness in general. And I was reflecting on how long ago we met each other, which we both agree we don't know what year.
I feel like it was almost 5 years ago, I want to say.
Okay. I was thinking it was longer than that, but maybe.
Yeah, it might be. Maybe six. I don't know.
I don't know. A whole lot of life has happened in a very short amount of time. So I don't even not register the years anymore. But I'm so excited to have you here. I think you're just amazing and so inspirational. So if you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit about your background and what got you into wellness.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be on your podcast and to have this chat. So yeah, what got me into health and wellness, it was a journey. I mean, I feel like ever since I was a little kid, I was always really interested in how to be your healthiest self and everything. I think I got interested in the wrong way because my mom was definitely in the diet culture. And I watched her always fixate and go up and down. And I was like, that's not cool, like in the back of my mind, you know what I mean? So I was always really aware of it. And then in high school and college, in high school, I got really into photography, went to it for college. I went into photojournalism and those were my passions. And so I really took them on, even though the health and wellness was always in the back of my mind. And growing up, I was teased a lot for my size and my weight, which I think is silly looking back and now, because I was never really overweight. I just developed earlier than most girls. So I wore baggy clothes and everything, you know, it put my self-esteem super low. And then when I got in college, went to college in Massachusetts and it was super intense and stressful, not only being away from my family in Austin, but culture differences, all of that. And I looked out my window one day from my dorm and the gym was across the street. And I was like, oh, I think I need to go there to help my stress. And so I did. And that's when like everything kind of got ignited. So I still went to school for photojournalism, graduated, started a photography business, have a photography business for a really long time. And while having that business, started kind of training friends on the side because that was my second passion. And then one day I just realized, wait, I'm waking up every morning thinking about training programs for my people I know, training programs for myself, how to improve my health, how to improve my wellness. I'm not waking up every morning anymore thinking about how to style this shoot. And also I started feeling like it was I was going down an egotistical route and I don't like to lead with ego, where I was started feeling like I'm taking these pictures and I'm posting them just for people to tell me how good they are. And I wasn't feeling like I was really serving others. So scratch that, still have my business, but only for clients. Photography, and I completely transitioned to personal training and nutrition coaching. And yeah, so that was, I don't even know how many years back, but maybe like four. No, wait, no, I'm sorry. That was 8 years. I did the training before I did the nutrition. So yeah, so it's been a journey since. And I feel now this is like, I feel right. You know, I'm on my life's purpose. This is a big reason why I'm here, is to really help people through that.
I love that. And just thinking about when you were talking about your mom, that was so my mom. Even just the other day, she made a comment like, well, on Monday, we'll start. Starting on Monday. And I was like, it doesn't matter what day you start.
it doesn't matter what day you start. No.
But that was just a reflection I had, like, oh, yes. Like, what kind of journey are we going to take this time?
Yeah, I think it's common for a lot of us, especially, you know, we're the same age, I think, like, and, you know, people in their 40s, like if you were a kid in the 80s and 90s, such a big deal, especially in the 80s is when it all blew up. So most of our moms, that's what we saw. And that's what we heard. And that's why it's important for me now having a daughter. I do not make any comments negative or anything about anyone or myself, because they're always listening and it's going to show up down the road. So, yeah.
Well, I like bristle a little bit when I hear like, how strong are you? Are you being a good little boy, a good strong boy? And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
it's not bad for him to have that strength. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way, because I do. And more recently, and I didn't really talk so much about the body image side, but more recently, just really recognizing how so much of the imaging that's out there creates a sense of that's what the ideal is. And even in my own process, having to come to terms with that is not achievable for me. It is not what is considered to be beautiful, in shape or whatever. It's just not, it's not achievable. And even being in my 40s now, going like, how do I kind of start to unwrap this a little bit so I can heal from still trying, like still my little kid self, still trying to achieve something that is just impossible.
Yeah. And it fluctuates, right? Like what's popular for a body, what society says is beauty or the media says, honestly changes every 10 years anyway. So if you're really going to try and keep up with that, oh my God, it's like a lifelong hamster wheel. So.
Yeah. And you don't get paid for it. You know, all that energy you put into it.
No, you don't.
So one of the things that comes up for me, and when you and I were kind of talking about you coming on this podcast, is I remember so acutely after Sean passed that my doctor immediately was like, you need to move. And it was in the first couple weeks, because I had reached out immediately more for my son to say, what do I do? And like talk to his pediatrician and everything. And they're like, you need to move. And I was like, you move. Like I remember so distinctly being like, you do it. Like my life has just completely crumbled. And then I also know like the other piece too, is I wouldn't eat. Like I couldn't eat. I was in such a stress, like shock response. I couldn't eat and people kept shoving food at me and I wasn't necessarily like throwing it right back up, but I was like, I can't do this. But that seems to be just so backwards, because everything from a neuroscience perspective is like, well, you need the movement and you need healthy eating to really help your brain through the shock and through the grief. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I remember when you were going through that, right? Because we were talking a lot and I was trying to be there as much as I could from Texas to Colorado. Yeah, I definitely can speak to it. While I haven't lost my spouse, my Sean, who's still here, I definitely went through that process when I lost my dad suddenly in 2012. And also after my first miscarriage, had four. As you know, but after my first was the big, and another big one later on after the first trimester losing that baby. So those kind of griefs I can totally agree with. Right. So I can relate on that level that when you're hit with something like that, it kind of paralyzes you. And even if the logical side of you is like hearing your doctor or hearing maybe people around you be like, hey, you need to do this. It's like the last thing you want to do. You just kind of want to be like, leave me alone. Like, I'm just going to sit here. And I'm not going to eat, even though people always give food, right? That's our society's way of trying to make you feel better, which is really sweet. But when you're grieving, like the last thing you want to do is honestly nourish yourself. It's just, I personally know that, like, you just don't want to do that. But let's speak to the benefits of why you should do it. First of all, I think it's really important. I think I started, and I'm going through grief right now. As you know, it's a kind of a constant grief because my mom has Alzheimer's. Sorry. So that's a constant. And I think this current grief has really, well, my dad's grief was the first start. So when that hit, I was like probably 2 weeks, right? When I was like, I didn't eat, I didn't want to move, I didn't want to do anything. I was paralyzed. I was literally paralyzed in my bedroom. I didn't even want to be around or talk to anyone. And then one day I just I knew all the health and wellness things. So one day I just told myself when I got up, like, Sabrina, we need to start doing stuff because he's not here. But you are, and you need to be your best self for not only yourself, but for all the people that love you. And he wouldn't want you to not do that. So I got, started with physical movement first, because I was fully aware of how that can help with not only grief, but depression and anxiety, because I've battled with anxiety my whole life as well. So I started going for walks, the moving your body on just a simple walk. Like, people completely underestimate a 30-minute walk out in nature, not on a treadmill, no people, like, get out in nature, because it really does help you. It's scientifically proven to increase your serotonin levels. Like, your gut is your second brain, which that's your physical movement does help it. And so does nutrition, obviously, which I can get into. But the physical movement increases the serotonin, which immediately starts making you feel better. The sunshine as well, the vitamin D helps boost it. So even if emotionally you're feeling paralyzed, which I completely relate to, if you can just start with like a 10-minute walk and then build up to a 30-minute walk, it will start having such an impact on you. And honestly, it can help your grieving process as well. So not only on a health and fitness level, it's helping you, but it's helping the grieving process because it allows you that time to walk. It allows you that time to think, to maybe communicate with your loved one, to just help your anxiety and everything kind of calm down. Because honestly, it's kind of like the last thing we want to do is feel the grief 100%, but we also kind of need to, you know, in smaller doses, or you're just going to constantly live in it. And I found that like moving my body allowed me a way to process it. And I've also helped multiple clients with that as well, who have gone through grief. So I always encourage the movement and then take it from there. So with my dad, I just started walking, and then I just fell back in love with one of my other activities I love is boxing. And that was super, super healing, obviously. And so, yeah, there's just so many movements to moving your body to really process the grief, because your body feels it. You know, we hold that tension. We hold that sadness. It's going to show up one way or the other, right? It's going to show up in a sickness for you. It's going to show up in insomnia for you. It could show up in bad mood for you, targeted towards your children or people that love you. So the more you can move your body, it's not only helping your personal health and wellness so you don't get sick, so you don't get worse, which happens a lot with grief. People go down, but it's just going to help you overall down the line. The earlier you can move your body, whether that's a 30-minute walk or boxing or running or yoga, whatever it is, it starts increasing your serotonin, which starts changing your brain chemistry and the way you feel about yourself. So you're more likely to start doing things for yourself while going through that grieving process. Sorry, that was long, but that's my...
No, and that's great. I mean, it fits so well. When I work with individuals, sometimes I work very briefly or part-time in adult rehab centers. And I'll tell them, like, when you have a physical injury, so, you know, we get in a cycle, I'm in pain, so I don't want to move. But the more you don't move, the more pain you're going to be in. And it's a vicious cycle. And the same thing, I think, comes up with grief. Like you said, the more you don't want to move. Like I said, don't want to move. And I love that you use the word paralyzed, because that's exactly it. Like everything just, I was just a shell of a person. And, but to come out of that and to be able to get to a point where you can start working through those feelings, you have to move. And I let, you know, I think for me, I know in my process, starting with the smaller chunks was really hard. Cause I was always, I still now to this day have to tell myself, like, do the small pieces. Cause I'm like, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it to the max. Get to that. And that's just not how this works. And grief in general is just, it's going to come and go, but it's a lifelong thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, I tell my clients, whether they're coming to me, whether clients have experienced grief recently or not, right? Or it's the grief of, honestly, like the grief of, oh, I keep trying to better my health and I keep failing. So they feel that shame because of that, right? No matter why they're coming to me, I like to have them start small, because if you can just, and I would tell myself the same thing every time I started moving, like, okay, Sabrina, if you can just move for like these 5 minutes, And then when the 5 minutes is done, typically you're going to want to keep moving for a little bit longer. You know what I mean? But it's better to set yourself up for success in little bites so that you're not putting the shame on yourself, even though there's no reason to, but Toby do, because we're human, especially women. You're going to put the shame on yourself for not doing more than what you think you should have been doing, but just anything counts. So little by little, if you can just build that up, it can definitely will have a positive impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then when it comes to the eating side of things, I mean, it would make sense also kind of that the small bits at a time, but I know I think it's, you have to be intentional, because the way I look at it, and I wasn't super intentional at first, and just after then, you know, through my own process was like, I need to change what I'm eating. And not like I was going straight for sugar, or even though that's usually like when I'm stressed, I'm like, give me the carbs. But I wasn't necessarily doing that. I was choosing not to eat, if anything. But how would you recommend, like, for those, if you're going to take small steps, what would be, you know, if there's anything that you're going to eat or consume, what would you recommend it be?
I find like, that's a lot, because honestly, when it comes to your health and wellness, a lot of people have it backwards, right? Where they think the majority to getting towards your goals or getting on a good track is the majority is physical movement. And then you back it up with nutrition, right? Where it's actually opposite. 80% of what you eat, what you drink is going to impact your overall health and your goals. 10% is the physical movement, and the other 10% is divided into sleep and how you manage your stress, which is massive for women. So to answer your question, it's kind of like, that's a biggie. So a lot of my clients, like I said, no matter why they come to me, I notice a trend, and that's alcohol. Now, I'm not saying like, don't drink alcohol. I'm not saying that at all. I'll never tell someone like, don't do something. However, especially when we're going through grief, that's a common lean on, right? The wine, especially like, this will help me at night. Da, da, da. And even if you're not going through grief, I find with most of my clients who come to me, they're having their wine at night, which is fine. That's the first thing I like to switch with people. So not to take it away completely, but to replace a ritual. So especially when we're going through grief, the more rituals you can put in place can honestly help you process the grief. And also if you're trying to get on a healthy track, the more rituals you can do can help you stay on the track. Because when you have a ritual, that when you do it, you know, it just feels right. And so if you can start building those, they become, I like to say rituals and habits, because I don't know, I think it just sounds more magical than like habits. So it's really boring. To me, habit sounds like constraining. Ritual sounds like I chose this. This is a beautiful thing. I'm going to move with this. So I think honestly, replacing the alcohol at night, especially with a tea, a nice decaf tea, is a great ritual to put in place first, because it's going to help your sleep. Because even if you think that alcohol is helping you go to sleep to process your grief, it's really not. It will make you pass out, sure. But what it's going to do is it's going to spike your blood sugar during about 3 hours later. And so you're going to wake up, or when you wake up that you didn't sleep really restful. You were hot. You were tossing your head, bad dreams. Well, a lot of that is because you had all that sugar and all that alcohol right before you went to sleep. So if you can replace that with tea, it's not only going to help you sleep better, but it's also going to help your body at night be able to process not only all the emotions you're feeling, but just process everything throughout the day. So you're not clogging up your liver. You're not slowing down your metabolism right before you sleep. So it's allowing your body on a health-wise, on like a scientific-wise, to process and get all the toxins out of your body rather than you throwing more toxins in. So you're throwing more toxins in and you're dealing with grief and you're just like piling it. So that's the first habit that I like people to switch, is their nighttime ritual. Cause I feel like, especially for women, how we're sleeping and dealing with our stress is the biggest part. So, and then the second thing I like to focus on is breakfast. So really focusing on getting, especially for women, like a lot of protein in with healthy fats first thing in the morning. And you can have complex carbs as well, because that's important as well. But a lot of people, especially women, especially if you have children, skip breakfast because they're too busy all of that out the door. And it's probably one of the most important things you need to get your brain going and make you feel better. When you're going through grief, you need everything you can to help you feel better. So I think if you could just do those two things, how you end the day and how you start the day, and don't get overwhelmed with the middle of the day because you got a lot on your plate, at least you're on the right journey that way.
Yeah, that is a lot. I totally have a side tangential question. I did a nutrition training for my license, for my normal work. And it was very similar to what you're saying. So I was like, well, clearly there's some really good alignment. Cause I feel like you could find, I feel like nutrition is almost and sometimes when it comes to, physical wellness, but I feel like it's kind of like when you're trying to buy a house, or when you're pregnant, someone has an opinion about every different way that you could do something.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's hard to find what really will work. And yes, every body type is different. But then when you're saying that, I'm like, okay, so then I know quite a few people who do intermittent fasting. Uh-huh. And especially, and I'll say this, like, I don't know so much if my dad still does it, but my mom will. And I'm like, no, I can tell you need to eat something right now. Like, and again, can't always change those habits that have been there for a very long time, for decades. But I just wondered if you would give a little snippet.
Looks like on intermittent fasting.
Yeah. Well, because I agree with starting your day that, when you have, there are days that I will wake up so hungry. And then other days, not so much, but I still find that if I try and skip breakfast or delay my breakfast, it just throws off my whole day, completely throws off my whole day.
That's so funny. I think every podcast I get interviewed on, they ask about intermittent fasting.
Really? I wasn't even planning on it. I'm just so curious. Yeah.
No, and not even just podcasts, just people in general. That's what I feel like these days or the past like couple of years, that's like the number one question I get. Everyone's going to have something to say, right? I think it's important. I'm just going to preface this. I think it's always important that you're getting your nutritional information from an actual certified nutrition coach or certified nutritionist and not like a reel on Instagram, unless it's from one of those people like myself or someone else. But if it's from an influencer or something, or like, please ignore it because, so intermittent fasting, I'm personally not a fan of at all whatsoever, especially for women, right? For men, do what you want. For women, it's been proven to be extremely harmful, especially for women in childbearing ages. Like, it's very dangerous. It could not only affect your fertility if that's something you're trying, but it can affect your brain chemistry down the road. And in your 40s, if you're not doing certain habits, you're literally laying the groundwork for cognitive decline, Alzheimer's, and dementia in 20 years. So please know, when you skip breakfast, it affects your blood sugar, which anytime, as most people know, when you affect your blood sugar, whether you spike it or you make it stay really low because you're not nourishing your body, that does translate into neurological damage down the road. So it's like, to me, one of the worst things you can do. If you're in the morning, if you're waking up hungry, that's great because that means your metabolism is firing. If you're waking up and you're just like, after like even 2 hours of being awake, like, I'm just not hungry. This is cool. I can fast. That's actually like a really bad sign because that means your metabolism is not firing. And your body is not sending the cues to you that it needs nourishment. So that means your body's not trusting you. So it's not trusting when you're going to feed it. So it's a machine. That's what your body is. Like, you have your, in my opinion, you have your soul and you have your body. It's a machine. You have to treat it like so. It has to trust you. And once it trusts you, doing like, I'm going to get fed at this time and I'm going to get fed at this time, then it's going to fall in line and everything's going to work well. And your brain's going to be fine and your hormones and your mood. So don't skip breakfast. Please don't do intermittent fasting. That's my personal thing. If you're listening to this and you think I'm crazy, that's fine. You can reach out, but that's my opinion.
And if you think about it though, if the one thing that we've been talking about, especially if you're going through grief, is that you have to continue nourishment in some way in order to even start being able to handle whatever is going to come your way with that grief process. I mean, my shock lasted for 4 months, and I say it lasts differently for every person. And I really couldn't really face a lot of the emotions. I mean, I felt like it was like an emotional data dump. Like I just got a huge dump of emotions and went, oh, now my body and brain think I can actually handle this. And I will admit, I did not have good practices. And even now, like still, I mean, almost 4 years out, feel like I'm finally getting to a point where I'm like having much healthier rituals, not habits, rituals around my health in order to really take my healing to another level. And that took a while for me to do that, to kind of start recognizing all the things that I was doing to numb out versus really feel that I could actually face. Because it sucks. It's horrible. I mean, I don't say it. And that's what I usually like to let people know. It is so much better on the other side, though. It sucks in the moment. But when you can actually work through it and do these things to keep your health going for you, it makes it not easier, but maybe more palpable or, you know.
No, definitely. I mean, I remember, yeah, when my dad passed or with my first in the one really bad miscarriage, I remember the same thing. Like I just shut down. And so the breakfast when I started wanting to eat was, I didn't want to eat like food, but I had like a really good, protein filled smoothie in the morning. So I could drink it. I didn't want to eat anything, you know? So like even making little steps like that, but it is important for the process. Like even now going through my constant up and down roller coaster with my mom, you know, like some days like it'll be fine, but then some days it'll be really hard. Like yesterday was really hard. She forgot my name. So this morning I could have easily just been like, you know, just paralyzed and just not do anything, but I didn't. I made my breakfast and I ate it because I told myself like, she's going through this and I'm going through this, but I need to be my healthiest self and my happiest self to not only process it, but be there for her, be there for myself and my family. I can't afford to get lost in the grief. I can say that because it's like an ongoing journey, but even the sudden ones, it's okay to be in that when you need to be in it. Like you said, like for 4 months, but the moment you feel like you're ready to get out of it, like start taking the steps to get out of it, because it really is, it feels better when like, it's never going to fully go away. You know what I mean? We all know that, but it does feel better on the other side. Like you said, when you're like, oh, I can feel it. I can acknowledge it. That's a part of me now. But I'm also like loving myself and being there for myself, because this is important too, because my health is important and it's helping my grief. And that person that's not here anymore that I love, loves me so much too. And so I need to do what's best for me. So yeah, it's important, especially how you start the day off. Because if you don't start the day off nourishing your body, or you start the day off with some kind of bad habits, it's so easy to be like your mom, right? And be like, oh, Monday, I'll do it on Monday. No, just do it. Just do it. Take the little steps. Yeah.
Yeah. And to that point, I mean, you talked about the shame, and I think what ends up happening, and one of the things that I've realized, or I'll tell people, is it's not about how you handle momentum or get into your practice or whatever it is. It's about how you handle those really high stress days that you just, like maybe you don't feel like you have any, those are the days I think are the test. And so I've had so many people where they try some sort of diet, or I call it a nutritional journey because I don't like the word diet.
I hate the word diet. I agree.
So they try this thing or whatever method, if it's keto, you know, whatever it is. And then they have one off day and that shame spiral starts. And I'm like, what matters is that next day, not about the day that you mess up. It what matters what you do with that next day and being able to kind of pick yourself up and keep going. And I think that's why that momentum, and one of the things I love about what you do is I recommend people get these rituals going before something happens. Like inevitably.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Life's going to hand you something inevitably. Now, I wish I had had this wisdom, you know, 4 years ago, but didn't at that time. Not to say that people weren't saying that or it wasn't going on. I just wasn't listening. And so I recommend doing it now, because then your body almost craves it. And you're like in that momentum and can, even if it does take a little bit of time to get back to it, you know what it feels like and can get back to it.
No, exactly right. You know what it feels like. So you know when you're sitting there like in sadness and paralyzed, you know in the back of your mind, like, oh wait, when I go for that walk or when I lift those weights, that makes me feel really good. I need something to make me feel good right now. I'm gonna go do that. But if you weren't already in those rituals or those practices, you don't know. You know what I mean? So I agree with that. It's the earlier you can start, the better. And if you miss one day, it's not the end of the world. I tell my clients that all the time. One day is honestly not going to do anything. Whether you're like, don't be that person either, who's like, what's going on? I haven't gotten my health goals and I've been doing this straight for 3 days. Like, no, it's going to take time. So, and one day isn't going to kill you at all. What will ruin it is you going down the shame spiral and beating yourself up about it, because typically that leads to worse choices. So we're all human. We're not perfect. We'd be boring if we were. So just embrace it and start the next day.
Yes. Yes. Which is can be hard, as you said. I was going to have you talk about water for a second, because I know that's that's one of your jams and also not on the list of questions I sent you. But I was like, we probably should talk about water for a moment.
Oh, my gosh. I'm such a hydration nerd. I can talk about water all day, every day.
I'm like, can't tell, but I like jumped on the Stanley.
Yeah, I see that.
Bandwagon, so that I can try and make sure I'm getting all my water in.
That's awesome. Let's talk about hydration. Honestly, that kind of goes to, first of all, it's so important in your overall health, but even when going through grief too, you know, it is important. If you're not going to be nourishing your body with the nutrition, if you can at least start drinking the water and hydrating, that's going to help make you feel better. Because when we're dehydrated, not only does it affect our mood, we go down, our body's not working correctly because our organs and muscles and everything aren't being hydrated, so they're not running the way they need to. And of course, as you can tell, my biggest passion with nutrition is your cognitive health. When you're dehydrated, you're dehydrating your brain. When you're dehydrating your brain, you're not thinking clearly, you can get irritated easily, and again, you're laying the groundwork for cognitive decline in 15 to 20 years. So don't want to do that. Water is super important. Hydration is important. I mean, what I tell my clients is that's like the number one thing. Like, I'll ask what they ate that day. But then my biggest thing is also like, I want to see your water intake, your hydration intake. And also it's important to remember you get your hydration, not just from what you drink, right? So drinking your water, you can count your tea and your hydration, but your foods too, like cucumbers, watermelon, you know, things like that. If you start incorporating those in your nutrition as well, not only is that beneficial for your nutrition and all the vitamins and everything it's giving you and your gut, which is the most important thing to nourish your body for, is your gut health. But you can count that towards your water or do it in addition. It's going to help you. But yeah, the benefits to being hydrated, like I said, it's just going to make your body work better, your mind sharper. So honestly, it'll help you start processing everything a lot easier. If you're dehydrating with alcohol and coffee, I mean, it's going to be worse. You know what I mean? So sneaking in the water, it's going to help your mood. It's just going to help your sleep. It's going to help your sleep, everything. So yeah, tips I like to give, if that's okay to say, for hydration is definitely to carry around like either a water bottle or a Stanley, like you have, anything that, you can take with you throughout the day, so you know how much water's in there, so you're tracking it, right? I don't like to say a certain ounce number goal for a person, because it honestly depends on your weight, and your weight meaning I like to focus more on your muscle mass. I don't care about the number on the scale, but your weight, the climate you live in, the amount you move your body every day, it depends on all those factors. But if you can aim for at least like half the ounces of in ounces of water as your body weight, that's a good goal. I like to go over. So I go a little extra because I'm always pushing my body harder and I live in a warmer climate, right? So I always drink like a gallon or a little more a day. But carrying that with you every day is just going to help you track. Don't be one of those people, please, for the love of God, that gets these little plastic water bottles and then gets another one. Not only is that super bad for the environment and bad for you because plastic, you're getting those chemicals in you, but it makes it really hard to keep track of your hydration. So if you can carry something with you every day, and also one of the biggest things, speaking about rituals in the morning, if you can start your morning off, like if you're making your coffee, then go ahead and fill up your water bottle, fill up your cup with water, right? Start drinking that while your coffee, your tea, whatever you do in the morning is brewing. And then by the time you've had your ready for your coffee, you've already had half of your bottle or cup. So you're already like getting in the swing of it. And it's going to help you think clearer immediately. It's going to help you start feeling better immediately rather than waking up immediately grabbing the coffee, which is going to dehydrate you first thing in the morning. You want to hydrate before you add the coffee in. And then of course the foods to incorporate, like I mentioned, so those are like my little tricks I like to give people. And if you don't like water, like a lot of people are saying it's boring, you know, put in some lemon, put in lemon and salt in the morning, and that gives you instant, why can't I think of the word, but you know.
The electrolytes.
Thank you. God, good word.
I'm so impressed I knew that.
Y'all, I typically know that. I am so pregnant right now, so my brain is like gone right now. Yes, it gives you the electrolytes, which will also just immediately help your brain power first thing in the morning. And it's natural. You don't have to pay for a supplement for that. And be careful with the supplements out there too for hydration. Please look on the packages. A lot of them are packed with sugars, which are bad, like really bad for you. But yeah, I could go on and on, but those are my top things for hydration.
And I think that's great. And just, you know, I was having a conversation with someone recently kind of about that water, and she had such a good point, which seems so obvious sometimes, where she's like, oh, well, if you're feeling dehydrated, you know, it again starts that cycle. But once you start drinking the water, it's like you have to get through a few days of actually getting to that goal or working up to that goal. And then you'll start to feel the benefit, but you gotta give it like a few days to start actually working it. So
exactly. Yeah. It's going to take time. And also you want to do it slowly as well, so you don't shock your body. But yeah, you're going to go to the bathroom more. Some people are like, I just don't want to go. I don't have time to go to the bathroom that much. And it's like, oh, do you have time for health issues? Do you have time for, you know what I mean? Being a weight you don't want to be at because your metabolism isn't firing, because proper hydration keeps your metabolism on point. So there's so many, just drink your water, people. It's super, super important. Our body is made up majority of water. Like we need water. Like it's everything.
And here, I mean, for the most part, I think this podcast is mostly listened to in the US. I think there are people, you know, I think there are people in other countries, but for us here, I mean, it's accessible. So if water is accessible, it's kind of like when I did an interview about heart math, like the breathing and doing breath work. And I'm like, it's available to you. Water is, you know, for the most part should be available to you. And so use it.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. You know, we're very fortunate. So don't take what we have for granted here, you know?
No. I want to switch gears a little bit because we've kind of talked about some of the past messages. A big part of the process that I've found and that I encourage people to do is kind of evaluate. You don't have to get stuck on childhood experiences, but to evaluate some of those messages you get from, you know, guardians. And I usually say stakeholders, you know, people who have said something that you've been around. Because I've also, the reason why I don't say it's always just an important person in your life, because it could be that someone says something flippantly to you that you don't really know, but it has an impact. And so when you're working with your clients or you're going through anything, how do you manage that, or at least help address that they're part of this process of, you know, it's dual. It's not just that you're working on your physical wellness. It's not just that you're working on your nutrition, because you have to almost, in my opinion, heal some of those messages to overcome them. Like I said, I'm in my 40s and still trying to overcome this body image idea and using my resources to do that. So I just wanted to see how, if at all, you recommend or have helped people kind of address those messages.
Yeah, no, I think that I'm so proud. I'm so happy you asked that. It's such an important part of the puzzle when I'm working with clients, because it is interesting how much one little comment, for example, y'all, when I was in seventh grade, okay, one of my friends, I'm not going to say her last name, but Angela, called me to tell me that Johnny, a boy we went to school with, said that I had the body of a German football player. Now, not only did she call me to tell me that, which I find very hurtful and not a good friend, don't worry, I stopped being friends with her. But I also think it's funny that one little tiny comment, I am fresh 41, fresh y'all, okay, just crossed over, 41. And I still remember that vividly. And so it's like you said, it wasn't a parent, wasn't a guardian. It was a flippant comment made by a little idiot boy who I could go on about his looks, but you know what I mean? And I still think of that. Like I still, and that's how we all are, especially women. I mean, we don't forget these comments. We bury them, we file them. And then the rest of our lives, when we look in the mirror, it's like a Rolodex and all of those thoughts play. So, and let me just tell you, when you get to a better spot, you're still going to hear them. I still hear them. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, man, they were crazy because I'm awesome and my body's amazing. And not only does it look good, but like it is so healthy on the inside, which is the actual important part, is your insides, not your outsides. So what I do with my clients, since majority are women, I've only had a few male clients. I prefer women, female clients, because obviously I relate. I do a lot of that deep dive. So I have these conversations with them weekly or bi-weekly or bi-monthly. I always get confused how you say that, but you know, every other week where we go into it. Yeah, I check in on how your nutrition's going. I check in on how your hydration's going. I check in on how your life currently is going. But I do always go back to, let's process, what'd you hear growing up? What was your mom like? Like, what was, you know what I mean? Because that does have a lot to do with it. And it is interesting how many clients come to me not even thinking about it. They don't even, until they're going through it with me, they don't even think like, oh, that did make an impact on me when my mom was always like, you need to lose 5 extra pounds, which is horrible for a mom to say. Or that did make an impact on me when, you know, whatever it was. So I talk about it with them. I also always encourage all my clients to have a journal, to journal daily if they can, if they have time. If they don't have time for that, you can write notes in your phone. But anything to just process what you're going through and think about that. Like, think about, well, why do I have this view of myself? What was it that happened? Because it's like you said, if you don't acknowledge your past or your shadows, like what's causing this, then you can't move forward. You can get all the healthy rituals you want. You can stack them up. You can do all of that. But if you don't do the work, the most important work, which is your mindset work and what makes you think this way about yourself, then even if you're following these healthy habits, your mind is still telling you the narrative of whatever you heard growing up or once or twice that still made an impact. So you're not going to ever fully invest in your healthy self. Do you know what I mean? And since you won't do it, you really won't ever get there, unfortunately, without doing the mental work, which is huge. So I'm glad you brought that up. So yeah, I have conversations and I encourage my clients to acknowledge it and to deal with it with themselves, writing about it, and then also talking about it.
And I think that's great because I think sometimes that helps processing. I'm a big fan of talking about it, even if it's to yourself, which I will do sometimes, just to process and to really be able to make those connections. And I've had similar, like I had, when I was 6, I had someone take food away from me and tell me if I ate that food, I would be fat. I was 6 years old. Like there was, and this person, like he was just a giant old man. Don't even remember who he was. But it's like that, and I didn't even realize until years later, I remembered that and was like, oh, you've been looping back there this whole time. And it just creates what I consider, you know, I've really been working on what is my relationship with food because of comments like that.
Yeah, no, it's so important. And it also like, sorry, real quick, 2 things came to mind. It's like going back to one of the first things I said about 30-minute walk, helping you process your grief. I also find that when I go for just like a 30-minute walk out nature, I'm just able to process anything, you know, and sometimes those walks will be what I was told when I was 10 years old or what I was told when I was 20 years old, you know, and I'm able just to be by myself and my thoughts so I can process it. So then I can also, so I can hear it, I can feel it, but then the logical part of me can be like, okay, but is this like true? Or was this one idiot's opinion? Do you know what I mean? And am I in control now? I'm in control. This is my health. You know, but, and also I think that's really important if you have kids or you're an aunt or an uncle and your nieces and nephews around you to really watch what you say. I mean, you know, I have a daughter, like I said, and I have a boy, 2-year-old boy, and I'm about to have another boy, but the words that we use around food in our house, like, first of all, there's bad words in our family, which is, you can't say fat in the family. You can't say stupid, those things. But we talk about food, like you need this because you need to nourish your body. Or, you know, my daughter's a huge soccer player. So it's always like, what's going to fuel you the most for your game? We need to fuel you. So changing the words like that, you know, not even like, this is going to make you strong. We're like, this is going to fuel you, Sloan. This is going to make your brain work better for school today. Let's fuel your brain today. Changing little things like that. I'm really hopeful the more people that do it now, generations to come won't have those thoughts or less of them will, which is my goal.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like I could have you back on to talk about just how we approach food with kids, because that's something that comes up a lot in the work I do, and just seeing how much stress parents have about making sure their kids eat enough. And then I'm like, oh, there's so much to unpack here.
There is. Yeah, no, definitely. I could talk about that too. Yeah.
I don't know how many people are like, but they didn't eat their whole dinner. And I'm like, and maybe they weren't hungry. Like maybe they ate just enough to fill them out.
The kid's intuition to know what their body needs is light years beyond what ours is. So if your kid says they're full, just please trust them, because they know better, because they haven't been programmed to do everything that we have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I wanted to say, for people to be able to connect with you, what's the best way that they could do that?
Yeah. Well, I have my website, bodiesbybrina.com, but the best way to get a hold of me is probably through my Instagram, bodiesbybrina. I forget how I do that. I feel like I had to do that a different way with like the underscores.
Look and add it into the show notes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Put it in the links. But I would say those are the two best ways, either through my website or my Instagram. I'm pretty active on both. So that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Well, I'll make sure to put that out for everybody. Thank you so, so much for being here. It's been awesome being able to chat with you today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Thanks for listening. For more about Alexandra and her work, go to forwardtojoy.com.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at AveryRich.com.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.